As parents, we need to be involved in choosing the voices our children listen to. We need to help them discern what the culture is saying to them so they can learn to pick the right voices for themselves when they leave home. We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we've had our special guest, Pastor Terry Scalziti, Associate Pastor for Adult and Family Ministries at First Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale. And you do a lot of work with kids, also parents, getting them to connect, connecting the church really to everyday life. Not everybody has or goes to a church that's like yours. So I know that a lot of parents that have been listening this week, they're like, well, that's great, but you know, my kids are too young to have curriculum, or they don't have a formal curriculum, and their connection's a little bit different. But we've been talking about how to have that faith connection also at home.
Yeah, we've been talking in here this week about the parents' responsibility, regardless of what church they go to, and the responsibility that each of us, not they, each of us need to accept in realizing we are the primary person to teach our children about Christ. It was Joshua in Joshua 24 that said, "As for me and my house, the church will teach my children about Christ." No, we will serve the Lord. And so that's our job. That is so important, and we can't subcontract it out. And one of those jobs is to raise a discerning heart in the life of our child, is to know what our children are listening to, is to choose who our children are listening to, is to let them know why we're making these choices rather than just say, no, you can't, yes, you can. Why? So that when they go off, they're ready to make those decisions.
Yeah, and you think about parents today. You think about your preschool parent in the car driving with their kids. They get out of the car, they've got that exasperated look on their face because they don't have any peace and quiet in the car because their kids are screaming and they're just, I just want peace and quiet. And then you look at the elementary age parent in kind of a similar situation. Maybe they're talking with each other. Maybe they got their headphones on. They're looking at the DVD players. Sometimes they have quiet. Sometimes they don't. But something strange happens when our children turn into teenagers. All of a sudden, the tables are turned. Instead of parents wanting their kids to be quiet in the car, they're begging and wishing and hoping that their children would talk to them because they go through those awkward moments as teenagers where they just shut down and they don't want to express, they don't want to tell mom and dad what's really going on in their lives. And today, as we continue wrapping up what it means to have an everyday faith, what it means as a parent to really impress upon your children how to have that everyday faith. One of the things I say is in the car, especially in their younger years, you need to choose to have conversation and not quiet. Sometimes you have to remember there's going to come a time when our children are not going to express to us. So choose those moments in the car around the table where you can have conversations, where you can have a voice in your child's life. And you know, as we say, as we talk about choose the voices our children listen to, they are going to grow up. They are going to listen to media. They are going to listen to other friends, and they are going to listen to other adults. And if we don't engage in this process, our children are going to choose the voices they listen to. But as a parent, I know I want to have an active role in making sure that whoever's speaking into my child's life, that they're saying the same things that I would want them to hear.
Oh, absolutely. And if we don't help our children learn how to discern what voices to listen to, they are sitting ducks for the media when they get into their 20s and believe every negative statement they hear the media make about anybody and even good people. It's a matter of choosing the voice for them when they're young, and it's a matter of letting them know why we made these choices. And then it's a matter of connecting it back to God. This is just not godly right here. Today's parent who has unleashed their child to do anything, put a television in their room, what are they thinking? I was speaking up at a great church in Vero Beach 2 weeks ago, and while speaking there and talking about it, get the television out of the room during the Q&A, very intelligent couple, Q&A, this couple says, how do you get the television out? And I said, you know, you don't know who's talking to your child. And her first question was, well, do you have a television in your own bedroom? I said, yeah, I'm an adult. Yeah, I've got a lot of things in my bedroom my children don't have. And then she said, well, can I just ask you, how do you get the television out of the room? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you, and that's a great question. You walk in, you pull the plug, you lift it up, you walk it out. Help me out here. Just do it. I think we're afraid of our children, and I think we, again, are a generation, and maybe only three or four generations into this, where we did have huge say over what went into the ears and hearts of our children, and they were on the farm, and we were the only voice, except when we went to town to church and stayed there all day. We've got to spend some time seeing that we know what's going into their ears, but also helping them know why we made that decision.
We're living in a different culture today. You brought up social media. You brought up iPads, iPhones, different things. When you think back to a time when we didn't have those and the children wanted to go play, we also lived in a different time period where it was okay to send the kids out into the backyard because you knew your neighbor. You knew the block that you lived on. And all of a sudden, the kids that they were playing with, you knew the parents of those children. You knew what was being taught. You knew what was being said. You had other voices speaking to your children's life that watched out for your kids. But in today's day and age, it's not as safe nowadays to tell your kid to go play outside. And as parents, as you said, a lot of times, when the kids want to play and parents are tired, they'll say, here's my iPhone. Go play with your iPad or your Nintendo system or whatever you have. And the reality is we're allowing different voices to speak into our children's life. Now, I'm not anti-media or anti-electronics, mm-hmm. but there is a limit to what you expose your children to. And so as in a church, in our church that we specifically have, one of the things that we say, if a parent comes in and asks, what's the one thing that you want me to do as a parent? We tell them to engage with their small group leader. Because we want to make sure that the small group leader and the parent are on the same page, that the small group leader knows what's going on in a child's life.
You're saying like the teacher, your child's teacher.
The actual teacher or small group leader, depending mm-hmm. on what your church you're at. So that way you can partner with that leader, and that as a small group leader or a teacher in church or as someone else, whether it's you're going to church or whether it's a friend that's there, engage and partner with another adult or another person that's speaking in. Just to partner with you in the life of your child, because sometimes your child might not listen to you, but they're going to listen to somebody else. And if they're saying the things you would want to say in your child's life, you can have a win there you're a part of choosing that.
In fact, they so often think that this other person they're listening to is smarter and wiser, which is amazing. But I think some of that's because they've seen some realities in our life. Today's child is growing up in a village called Facebook or some other social media with people we don't even know. A great study that Ruthie and I have talked about on here before, that this is the generation of the cyber native, and every generation has been a cyber immigrant until they got here. It's a Harvard study, which is astounding, and we need to know about it. We need to be prepared for it, and we need to be able to shut it down, and we need to tell them why we've shut various things down. They are going to be in a cyber world. It's going to get more exciting and more awesome. With everything good comes challenges. With everything good comes attacks from the evil one. I got a text yesterday from Burkina Faso, Africa, from a missionary friend there telling me what was going on. A text. That's awesome. We're in an awesome time right now. But there's going to be negative things. I need to know. I need to monitor it. I need to talk to my children about
it. We did an entire 2-week series called Privacy versus Protection. Just for those listening, you can find that online at parentingonpurpose.org.
Well, you just did a mid-show promo, didn't you? I've never heard you do that before. That was awesome.
We've talked extensively on this, but that, you know, it's nice to hear kind of a Cliff Notes version also of like, hold on, there has to be a strategy, not just letting anybody have access to your kid.
And one of the things, Bob, I've heard you say many times before, and I've never forgot it as a parent listening to you sometimes, is when we're a parent of a younger child, we die for that child. When we drive, we think back to that first time that we drove the child home from the hospital. We were going 30 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour speed limit because we wanted to make sure we got home safe. We remember that drive like yesterday. But then something happens when all of a sudden they get older, they become teenagers, and they start having more independence. We start acquiescing our right as a parent because we don't want to offend our child. In other words, we sacrifice long-term health of our relationship with our child for a short-term relational gain. And I've listened to you several times say, when did we acquiesce our right as a parent? Just because they've turned 13 or 14 years old, when did we start saying as a parent that it's okay for them to start making decisions on their own and I need to be okay with it? We're the parent.
And part of it comes from them. I mean, having three of my four stepkids as teenagers, they act as if it's a right to have unlimited access. So it's the training, it's the teaching of, okay, that's not the truth. It's not a right to have a phone. It's a privilege to have a phone, and I can take it away whenever I want. And second of all, really teaching them, being purposeful and teaching them how to filter through all that information. Because the truth is, as much as you want to take all the bad air out of the Tupperware, as you say, Dr. Bob Barnes, they're going to be exposed to stuff that you don't want them to be exposed. So I can put that mentality also in them and train them. Okay, there's stuff out there you shouldn't be looking at. If by mistake it comes across, by mistake your friend, you know, says this or asks you to do something like that, but you need to be smart and giving them tools. That's how we've had to do it because we share custody and all that. So we don't know what's going on at the other home all the time. So we've had to resort, okay, we're going to have our own rules, but also give them tools to use when they're out of our control.
Absolutely.
Come and show me. If all of a sudden something's come up on your iPad, something's come up on your phone that you feel is inappropriate, come and show me. That's one side. The other side is, honey, I love you too much not to look. You know, when I open the vegetables to cook them, I look at the vegetables. I make sure there's not bugs on the vegetables. I look at them and clean them off. It's just as important for me to look at your Facebook. No, I won't post anything stupid on there. I won't do that to you. But I'm going to look at all your stuff. And so come and show me first. And as a parent, I need to decide that I want to know what they're listening to so so I can go and not give them a lecture. I see this was posted by somebody, and this is somebody who has friended you. Talk to me about this person. Do you have any concerns with that statement? Do you have any concerns with what just happened there? Oh, you won't. No, I don't. I'm just talking to you about it right now. But this is a freedom that I'm hoping you can handle. And so I just want to talk to you about it. We need to launch into their world in a way that they feel, okay, I will talk to you about it. And maybe initially they'll come talk to you about it because they don't want to lose the iPad for a month or a week or whatever, but that's okay. I am responsible. You know, somebody asked me years ago, did you ever look in your child's chest of drawers? Absolutely. Really? You went in their bedroom? Absolutely. It's the same thing as looking at their Facebook. I'm responsible for the protection of this child. And so I want to know what's speaking into their brain. And then I don't want to just say yes, no. I want to help them process the information because I want to send them off to college processing the information. If they end up on a dorm floor where everybody's looking at pornography, I want my child to know how to say no to that. And I want to cheer that with that child. So yes, you do have to know.
And you know, you talk about it. It's really the principle as a parent. It's the most difficult thing as a parent to do, and that's to parent. Because the reality is that those are the things as parents that we want to run from. Yeah. We want to sit there and think that they don't exist, or maybe if I don't pay attention to it, it'll go away. Oh, but the reality is it's a moment in a parent's life that is your most difficult moment, and if we don't run to it, we're going to get a child that is exposed to so many things and so many voices that when you do decide, when it's too late and you say, I need to run to this and I need to intervene, your child's going to look at you and going to have a very difficult conversation because you've ignored it or run from it for so long that it's out of control.
When they're little, we look in the back seat and make sure their seatbelt is on. That's right. We just don't take, do you have your seatbelt? We look. All their lives, we need to be looking, but we also need to be talking. We need to be listening and let them learn the process.
I've heard a lot of parents say too, well, I trust my kid. It's like, that's good that you do, but I would, you can't trust everybody else.
That's exactly
also.
Right.
And they're well-behaved. They're getting good grades. Okay, but those aren't the only two indicators. There's all kinds of stuff, and kids are very savvy these days. And with the stuff that they're exposed to, and no matter what school they're in, they're going to find ways to do things. And, just don't underestimate your child's intelligence.
There's a heavy balance between showing your child trust and also having to make sure that your child's making wise choices. One of the things with Connor, he's 5 years old, but even in this process, we tell him to go to the bathroom and wash his hands. And from an early age, he would go and he would use soap almost every single time. But we needed to make sure that he used soap. And so we thought, well, what can we say to our child so he knows that we want to give him some trust? So we said that after you wash your hands, we're going to do a hand check. And so every time he'd come out, now my child at that age didn't really know that we're trying to smell for the scent of the soap to make sure that he washed his hands. But here's the reality. He washed his hands every single time. And then pretty soon we stopped doing hand checks until the one day when all of a sudden he washed his hands and I noticed at the dinner table that his hands were dirty. And so I looked at him, I said, Connor, you said that you washed your hands. Yeah. Did you use soap? No, I didn't. I said, okay, next time you go, we're going back to hand check. And so the reality is it's almost a give and take process that when my child makes the wrong choice, he knows because I'm running to it that because you chose this, then daddy's going to make sure that he does a hand check. When your teenager comes in, you can give trust, but the reality is, as Bob said, be a part of your teenager's life. Make sure that they know that I'm going to be watching, and the minute that I see something, I'm going to run to it and not from it.
Trust is a muscle that has to be exercised. And so we give them trust by giving them independence and pull it back. And every time we pull it back and every time we do the things that we have to do, we have to check, we want to search. Father in heaven, can you help me find a spiritual principle here? Because I want to use this behavior, this part of their world, this thing they're dealing with, even this area where I felt I could trust more independence and they're not ready for it. Not their bad, my bad. I need to pull it back. I want to give a spiritual principle here. So that they slowly learn all decisions need to be filtered through Christ. All decisions need to be filtered through the Bible. The goal here is to send my child out the door able to make spiritual decisions, godly decisions, God-honoring decisions when they're on that college campus and I'm not there anymore.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries and Pastor Terry Scalziti, Associate Pastor for Adult and Family Ministries at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale. I'm your host, Ruthie J., and if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the children's homes, all the other aspects of the ministry, go online to shfm.org. You can even support the children's homes by getting some of the resources that are online, shfm.org. And to hear today's program again, share it with your spouse, share it with a friend online, or download any app that you need for your device. Find all those links and information, even to sign up to get the program automatically. Go to parentingonpurpose.org. You'll find it there, including a bunch of other programs on some of the topics that we briefly just touched, even on today's great program. Online, parentingonpurpose.org. We hope you join us next week. We're going to be covering another topic here on Parenting on Purpose.